Matter of fact, a footnote about young brother Charles Hopkins Jr. He taught the morning Bible class, the adult class, a wonderful job. We've got a new teacher. All right. Thank you, Charlie. Speaker this morning, our brother Hank Davis Jr. Sermon title, The Greatest Love Story. Scriptures, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 8. Scripture reader is Tom Milligan. Presiding at the Lord's table, Charlie Hopkins Jr. and brother Jerry White. Correct? All right. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we're thankful for this day, for this time you've given us to assemble for our worship service, and for every opportunity, Father, that we have to serve Thee. And we ask Thy blessings, Father, this morning upon everyone who is here, and upon those who had a desire to be here but were unable. We pray especially, Father, for our brother James Gatewood as he enters St. Joe on Tuesday. We pray, Father, that as he goes in for these tests, that you will be with him, give him the strength, Father, to endure, be with those, Father, who are waiting upon him. Father, be with all of us in all of our endeavors that are for good. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. If you would turn to hymn book to page 418. 418. We'll sing all three. You may have your worldly pleasure, your silver and your gold. You may follow the riches that this whole world can hold. But I'd rather have my Savior than with him firmly stand. For I want to be ready to meet him in that glory land. I want to be ready to meet him by and by. I want to be ready to meet him in the sky. Oh, want to be more like him and to be less of man. For I want to be ready to meet him in that glory land. You may talk about the riches, your diamonds and your pearls. You may gain a wealth for pages of this in all the world. But the Savior is my precious, with him I'll take my hand. For I want to be ready to meet him in a glory land. I want to be ready to meet him by and by. I want to be ready to meet him in the sky. For I want to be more like him and to live like some man. Be ready to meet him in that glory land. There is one thing I can boast of, salvation from the fall. I'm an heir to worldly glory, my Father owns it all. That is why I shall be happy and go where he is a man. For I want to be ready to meet him in that glory land. I want to be ready to meet him by and by. I want to be ready to meet him in the sky. For I want to be more like him and to be less a man. For I want to be ready to meet him in the glory. Before we go into God's prayer this morning, please turn to hymn books page 957. 957. We'll sing all three.
When the Savior falls, I'll answer. When he falls for me,
Well, I'll be somewhere, listening, I'll be somewhere, listening, I'll be somewhere, listening for my day. Well, I'll be somewhere, listening, I'll be somewhere, listening, I'll be somewhere, listening for my day. If my heart is right, baby, for me, if my heart is right, I will be here. If my heart is right, baby, for me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Well, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my day. Well, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my day. If my goal is what waiting for me, if my hope is what I will be.
Shall we pray? Our most kind, loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, thankful for thy love, Heavenly Father, for thy comfort, for your comforting arms, Heavenly Father. We're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for being by our sides each and every day of this life, Heavenly Father. You get us through all the difficult times. You encourage us. You give us the strength, Heavenly Father, to continue to live by thy example. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that as we encounter so many obstacles, Heavenly Father, that we will get over those obstacles, that we can avoid those obstacles, Heavenly Father, that we'll continue to bring our problems to you, to not believe that we are alone. We know that we can come to you in prayer. We know that you will strengthen us, that you will help us to overcome anything that we face in this life. We also pray, Heavenly Father, that we continue to, as Christians, that we continue to set the right example, that we will not fall into the ways of the world, that we will do things that are according to thy word, that are according to thy will, that we continue to grow, we continue to spread that gospel, Heavenly Father, that we can encourage those that may be falling away to be able to come back into the fold, Heavenly Father, and to encourage those that may not be, have yet become Christians, to take those steps, Heavenly Father, to being saved so they may have that hope of eternal salvation. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be with all those that were mentioned sick. Pray that they will be given the care that is needed so they can be returned to their much and wanted health. We also pray at this time that you will be with the Ford family during their this time of grieving. We pray that you will comfort them, Heavenly Father. We know that you will be by their side as they deal with this loss. And we pray that if they need anything, Heavenly Father, they can turn to you. They can turn to here at the people at the congregation, at their congregation, to get them through this difficult time. We also pray that you will be with our brother Hank. Our brother Hank, as he prepares to bring us the lesson for this morning. We pray that we will give him our most undivided attention, and that we'll be able to take that which he's going to preach to us today, that we can take what we hear and learn, Heavenly Father, and apply it to our daily lives. We also pray, Heavenly Father, that you continue to be with the leaders of this congregation as they tend to the needs of this building, to the needs of this congregation, that they, as they resolve any issues that we may have, that they continue to keep us safe, to keep us healthy. We're so thankful for the work that they put forth to make sure that our worship service unto you is acceptable unto you. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we begin this day, that you will continue to watch over us through the remainder of this day. Guide us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we will, when we start this new week, Heavenly Father, that we continue to still set that Christian example, to live that Christian life, that we will show everyone that we are around, Heavenly Father, that they can see that we are wearing and showing that great Christian example. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you will watch over us, that you will keep us safe, that you will continue to help us to avoid any temptation, that you forgive us of our sins. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Before partaking of the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn to hymn book page 504. 504. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4.
When peace like a river attend upon my way, when sorrows I see,
my soul, my soul. This morning we come together as we partake of the bread representing Christ's body that was beaten and bruised, battered, and then stuck upon a cross. His blood flowing from that cross, saving us from our sins. As we think about these events in our going on, we think upon that love that it took for him to willingly put himself there. For we know that he could have taken himself off of that cross at any time. We think about how he was falsely accused as he went there. And as he said, he was asked, who are you? He says, I am who I am. What a wonderful thing that our Lord Jesus Christ did on our behalf, that we might be able to remember him now in this way, to be able to partake of this bread and fruit of the vine. As we think upon these thoughts, let's bow our head in prayer and thank him for the opportunity to be able to commune with him at this time. Dear Lord and Father, we thank you that we're able to gather around this table. We thank you that you so willingly gave yourself that we might be able to be free of sin. Father, what a wonderful wonderful gift you gave us. Father, as we partake of this bread, we ask that you do it not in vain, but with an open and chastised heart. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the body. Our most loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to come together on the first day of the week, to gather around the Lord's table, to be able to come together in fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can have this opportunity to partake of this fruit of the body represents thy son's precious blood. To have this opportunity to clear our minds, to reflect back on that cruel cross, to know the punishment that thy son endured, that he had the power to save himself, Heavenly Father. But he loved us so much that he willingly gave his life. And we just pray that as we partake of this fruit of the vine, that we'll do so in a manner that it be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy son Jesus' name. Amen.
Has everyone had a chance to be able to partake of the Lord's Supper? If not, please signal now as you raise your hand. I see no hands, so we will continue. Moving on. We also have the opportunity to be able to give back as we've been prospered. But it's more than being prospered. It's giving back a part of ourselves, knowing how our Savior gave himself, he gave all of himself on our behalf. And he asked that we give back a little to show that we love him. In doing so, we expand his kingdom. We spread the word of God. And we're able to help those who are in need. what a wonderful opportunity we have to show our love not only to our Lord Jesus Christ, but we also have the opportunity to help those who are in need. And we are able to give the word to those who have never heard the word or who are in need of it and need to come. So as we thank Him now for giving back, let's give with all of our hearts as we bow in prayer. Father, we thank You that we're able to have the means that we have to be able to give back to You. Father, we ask that You help us to open our wallets. We ask that as we do so ungrudgingly, but with a cheerful and wonderful heart. As we do so, Father, we ask that Your kingdom is expanded not only here in Ypsilanti, but all around our area. Father, we ask that in doing so, we're able to help each other as well, for we are indeed brothers and sisters. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would, mark your hymn books to page 858. That would be our song of encouragement. After marking that, please turn to page 807. Sing all three.
Somewhere for me when this life is over, I obey to a song of God and let the soul come. Just
Sermon title today is The Greatest Love Story. And the scripture is taken from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Again, that's 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Brother Hank.
Thank you, Brother Tom. Good morning, church. It is so good, again, to be able to stand before you and be able to fellowship and worship and praise His holy name and to be able to have an opportunity to preach another portion of His word. I'm glad to see that everyone made it through the holiday weekend and the bombardment there was of fireworks, if you will, and the air quality and everything we've been going through. But God is good all the time and all the time. God is good. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. If you are visiting with us this morning, we want to let you know that you are our honored guest. We are pleased that you've chosen to fellowship with us today. And we ask that before you leave, you don't rush off and you give us an opportunity to meet you. I want to take this opportunity right now to acknowledge the ladies' prayer group here at the Ypsilanti Church of Christ. Nicole and I received your very, very beautiful card, and the kind words and the names that just touched us all. You know, everybody's going through something, you know, and when someone just gives you a little bit of an encouragement, it needs to be recognized. And I just want to say to all of you, God bless you, thank you, and we love you. I want to continue on to say that this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, because on this morning, let us praise God, for only He can make us strong by means of the good news, which is the message about Jesus Christ. For ages and ages, this message was kept secret, but now at last, it has been told. The eternal God commanded his prophets to write about the good news so that all nations would obey and have faith. And now, because of Jesus Christ, we can praise the only wise God forever. You know, it's often been said that everything happens for a reason. In fact, we can read in the Old Testament book of Proverbs 16:4 where it says, "The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil." In other words, it's saying that the Lord has a reason for everything that he does. And he lets evil people live if only to be punished. See, what he's saying is that while we're going through this world and everything, that there are things that are happening and are not happening in our lives right now that may or may not have a significant bearing on what is going on in our lives right now. However, whether it be today, tomorrow, next week, next year, 10, 20, 50, or even 100 years or more from now, the things, events, circumstances, occurrences, situations, consequences, coincidences, repercussions, and just stuff happens to us and around us for a reason. Ephesians 1:11-12 will say, "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put on our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory." Jesus would say in Matthew 6:34 that, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So we have to understand that everything happens for a reason. And as we continue to increase our faith and trust in the Lord daily, knowing that his plan for our lives is greater than any that we may perceive for ourselves. "In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." That's in Psalms 56:4. So it is very clear and is very important that as we go through the remainder of this lesson that we understand God's will and that everything that he does happens for a reason, even though we may not know today what that reason is. So this morning, I want to take the opportunity to openly talk about a four-letter word that stirs the emotions of many. And before anyone gets out there and gets too nervous when he says a four-letter word, I am talking about love. L-O-V-E. We use this word all the time in sentences. We always use phrases like, "I love you." We say stuff like, "Love makes the world go round." "Love is in the air." "All you need is love." We say things like that and many, many more. We add tags to love. We say that love is conditional or unconditional regarding the circumstance. You know, we have conditional love and unconditional love. We have words like platonic, where that's like almost like a friendship love, or romantic. Biblically, we know that amongst other things, love is about service. We know love is about sacrifice, and we know that love is about obedience. Scripture even tells us that God did what? So loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's John 3:16. And in 1 John 4:16, it simply states that God is love. And the scripture this morning clearly defines what love is. So that what I want to talk about is that scripture that was read this morning by our brother Tom. We want to break that down a little bit. So what better way to incorporate the word of God into a true example that demonstrates all the elements of love than with a good old-fashioned biblical love story? One that many have called the greatest love story in the book of Ruth. Yes, we're going to go back to the Old Testament this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about the book of Ruth. I want to break it down quite quickly, and then we're going to kind of break down the components of love that we see in that book. It's a little bit different than what a lot of people think before they read the book of Ruth, and it's got a little bit of a message at the end of it. So we're going to look at the book of Ruth. We start at the beginning, and we talk about a man named Elimelech from Bethlehem, Judah, who left his hometown when there was a famine. There was a famine in Judah, so he took his family to the country of Moab, okay? And he and his wife, Naomi, along with their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, left for Moab. Now, Moab is a land that's kind of called short of the promised land. The Moabites and the Israelites, just for backstory, were enemies. They were enemies. They went to Moab. Moab was almost like a little bitty paradise in the desert. Now, Scripture will go on to tell us that Elimelech died, leaving Naomi with her two sons. Her two sons married Moabite women. Okay, they were named Orpah, not Oprah, Orpah and Ruth. Okay, 10 years passed, and Mahlon and Chilion both died. Naomi decided to return to Judah, hearing that the famine had passed, but she had entreated her sisters-in-law to remain in their homeland. She told them to stay there in the land of Moab. After all, this was their home, and why should they try to accompany her back to her homeland now that their husbands were dead? They have a house in Moab that will be provided for. Although both women initially pledged to stay with Naomi, when she urged them to leave her, Orpah agreed. But Ruth stayed by Naomi's side, and this is important, and vowed to accompany her back to Judah. Now, this is not her homeland. Her homeland is Moab, but she decides after all this time she's going to stay with Naomi. You follow me? So back in Judah, there was a wealthy relative of Naomi's husband, a worthy man named Boaz. Ruth went into the field to gather the grain for the harvest, where she caught the eye of Boaz. Now, I'm just giving you a little overview. You can read it for yourself a little bit later, but for the emphasis of this lesson. Boaz promised to treat Ruth and outsiders in the land of Judah as an equal, and he welcomed her. Ruth was overcome by his kindness and asked what she, a stranger, had done to deserve this. Boaz replied that he had heard how she had left behind her own parents in Moab to accompany her mother-in-law, Naomi, into a strange land. Ruth went home to her mother-in-law that evening and told her what had happened. Naomi told Ruth that Boaz was a near relative and as such will protect and provide for them. Ruth went to Boaz that night and knelt at his feet. Now, that was a tradition at that time to ask for protection and possibly marriage. She told him that she was a handmaid and they were kin. Boaz replied that there was a man who was even closer kinsman to her than he was. And the other man had essentially first option on whether he wished to marry Ruth. Now, this was the traditions at the time, okay? Ruth, however, if the other closer relative said he didn't want to marry Ruth, Boaz declared he would happily do so, and he gave her 6 measures of grain to take back to Naomi as a pledge. Boaz called a council of elders, including his other kinsmen of Elimelech, and explained that Naomi had her deceased husband's parcel of land to sell, but that if the kinsmen wished to claim it, he must agree to marry Ruth. Then if you have a son, is what he said to him, the property will stay in the family of Ruth's first husband in Moab. The man answered, if that's the case, I don't want to buy it. You may have it, because I cannot. There followed a custom involving sandals, whereby one man plucked a sandal from his hand and handed it to another, if he wished to forego a claim of something. This would be a kind of a testimony in Israel. In those days, we were told a legal ritual which sealed the deal. So the older kinsman took off his sandal, gave it to Boaz, signaling that he had relinquished all claim to Ruth or her dead father-in-law's land. Marrying Ruth would damage his own inheritance from his father, presumably by marrying a Moab foreigner. So he declined. Boaz announced that he would marry Ruth, and they promptly got married, and Ruth had a son. This son, whose name was Obed, had a son named Jesse, who himself had a son named David. So there's an overview, real quickly, of the book of Ruth. So now let's go back and let's look at this, and let's look at the analysis of love in this great Old Testament love story. First, we start right from the beginning, and we can look at loyalty. We can look at loyalty. Scriptures tells us that love bears all things from this morning. Love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's 1 Corinthians 13:7. So when we look at what the text, we go back and see right there that love bears all things. We look at the love that Ruth has for Naomi, her mother-in-law, staying with her long after her husband had died, staying with her after her own husband had died. Okay, what loyalties do we have today? Do we see today? You know, we see it right now. We're supposed to see it right now in marriages that loyalty is supposed to last until death. Or we see it with families. That's that loyalty that we're supposed to have all the time. That almost that unconditional love that we talk about. We look at devotion. Ephesians 4:6 reads, "One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and all." In Ruth 1:16, she would say to Naomi, Ruth would say, "Your God shall be my God." This is another demonstration of love is devotion. Your God shall be my God. The kind of woman that you are, what I've seen, I want to have your God be my God. We talked about that a little bit this morning in Sunday school about, you know, trusting God and letting God be your God and you guiding him and letting him guide you and not you guide yourself. We look at service. Philippians 2:3-4 reads, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others before more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only into his own interest, but also into the interest of others." Look at Naomi to Ruth and to her sister. Ruth to Naomi, Ruth and Boaz to Ruth. You look at, that's what you're talking about, that service that Naomi had to Ruth. Okay, that Ruth had to Naomi. That Ruth had to Naomi and Boaz had to Ruth. And the real decency and the orderly conduct of this love. Also, we want to look at as well. 1 Corinthians 14:40 would say, "Let all things be done decent and in order." Now, here is a wealthy man in his own town, in his own country, Boaz. But his treatment of Ruth was very proper. It was very proper. She was not from that land. He could have did anything he wanted to do with her, but he was very proper, and he was very decent in the way he handled that, and the way he handled her, and the way he handled Naomi. We go to faith. Hebrews 11:1-2 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, whereby his elders obtained a good report." Again, Ruth insisted on remaining with Naomi to a strange land, knowing that these people are her enemies, that her people and the Israelites was clashing. You can read more about that in Judges 3. And then we want to also look at trust. Isaiah 54:10 says, "For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." Ruth had to trust Boaz. She had to trust Naomi. That trust had to be there, okay, because she couldn't just go off on her own. She couldn't just say, "I'm not going." She could have did like her sister-in-law and say, "I'm staying in Moab. I'm going to stay with my family." But she stayed with Ruth. This love that was shown, not just from Naomi to Ruth, Ruth to Naomi, and Boaz to Ruth, it had to happen that way. Why did it have to happen that way? Because, as I stated before, everything happens for a reason. It starts with this love, but everything happens for a reason. It starts with trust in the Lord. Everything happens for a reason. What is that reason? You have to look at what Ruth's destiny was and that purpose that was revealed. Now, when we look at why was Ruth so determined to stay with Naomi, why was she so determined? She could have stayed at home. You know, we always play the what if game. What if I had just stayed here? What if I had just did that? What if I just, that's us thinking about what we would have did. When God has our destiny planned for us, we need to make sure that we do what he tells us to do, even if it don't look right to us. We got to pray on that. Think about this. Who did Ruth turn out to be? Why was Boaz so kind to the woman, a woman much younger than him, a Moab woman, a woman that he knows that his people don't get along with? Well, let's look at this. Ruth and Boaz had a son. Their son's name was Obed. Scripture tells you that. Obed would in time have a son, and that son was named Jesse. Who would in time have a son, and that son was named David. Who would in time have a son named Solomon? Now, if you go over and you look in Matthew 1, you can continue to see the rest of this family's lineage that leads directly to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ruth is King David's great-grandmother and an ancestor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She was a Moabite woman. Her people were enemies of Israelites. She was a migrant in Judah, and when she accompanied Naomi back there, God can use, we talked about this morning too, God can use anybody at any time when he feels to fulfill his purpose, his grand purpose for his love for you and for me. Everything happens for a reason. Like I said, it could be 10 minutes from now. It could be 10 years from now. But you think about the time it took. But if Ruth stays in Moab, then she never meets Boaz. She never marries Boaz. She never has a son. What does that do to the lineage of Jesus Christ? Everything happens for a reason. We cannot always think about what's going on today. We have to look at the thing behind the thing. That's not mine, but someone said that. So I want to use that today. Romans 8 and 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for the good for them that love God. To them they are called for according to his purpose." And 1 Corinthians 1 and 27 says, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty." The book of Ruth is not your typical boy meets girl Tuesday matinee love story. No, it's not. It is, however, a beautiful spiritual story of love. It illustrates all the components of love in this one short book. It demonstrates patience, as God is patient with us who truly seek him. It demonstrates kindness. It demonstrates service and unconditional devotion as we are to be with the Father. It serves notice that if we go to the Father as Ruth went to Naomi, and despite what things look like to us, despite our concern, everything happens for a reason. And his reasoning has already determined our great destiny. Short message, but a powerful one, I believe. So if you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's church, the question is simple. What must I do to be saved? Understand that God has already done his part by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the remission of sin, that whoever should believe and is baptized shall be saved. Your part, if you so choose, you've heard his word. Believe in his word. Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus is Lord. Be baptized and come up out the water and walk in the newness of life, and God adds you to his church. Acts 2 and 4-7. Not by the vote of man, the decision of man, but God alone adds you to his church. And if you are already a Christian and you've strayed away for whatever reason, remember that God loves you. God loves you. Scripture tells us because of the Lord's great love, we are not to be consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is our faithfulness. Lamentations 3:22 and 23 and Psalms 86 and 5 reads, "You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you." If you are in need of prayer, understand that prayer works. prayer always works. Scripture tells us, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win forever. You win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Proverbs 3. And we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. We love him because he first loved us. So, this morning, whatever your needs, we ask that you make them known. Come forward, have a seat on the first pew. Hear the tender words of Jesus calling tenderly on your ear. To stay and listen, turn and hear. Together, stand and sing. Thank you. May God bless you.
For the gentle voice of Jesus calling, tenderly upon your ear. Sweet is cry of love and pity.
Thank you.